always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Friday afternoon, pre-Friday afternoon episode by you guys. The way this is going to work, I'm going to hop on here, give you guys a quick little spiel about the ways that Vegas Summer League can help teams like the Lakers that have a couple last orders of business, get those orders of business across the finish line, and why teams and executives in particular like to get stuff done around this time, around or while they're all at Summer League together. So I'm going to, you know, explain some of that, and then I'm going to hand the reins over to you guys. To those of you who are watching here live, hit me with questions, hit me with comments. I'll check the iTunes mailbag as well to see what kind of questions and comments we might have in there. But yeah, the show is yours. I'm going to go for about, we'll say about 45 minutes or so, so that I can record, edit, post, and then finish packing, right? I got to load equipment into my suitcase and you know, then head off to the airport and make my way into the Vegas skies. So yeah, that's how this is going to go. But before we do any of that stuff, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please hit that, turn on those notifications for both the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the show. Tell your friends about the show as well. This thing is really growing over the last couple of months or so. Been really fun to watch it grow, especially here on YouTube and in its audio form. Speaking of that audio form, if you guys are listening to it in its podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably Odyssey, but all of the podcast platforms are perfectly fine with me. Also, today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free picks when you sign up. Use the promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's go ahead, dive on in, starting with how Vegas greases the wheels, I guess is how we'll phrase this thing. So Vegas is, at this time of year, the epicenter of the NBA, because all of the teams have representatives there in Las Vegas. Everybody is talking to everybody. Everybody has meetings. Everybody is having meetings over cocktails and over morning coffee after those cocktails. And everybody is talking to everybody about what everybody is talking to everybody about. It's just a whole bunch of talking. And for my industry, it's a lot of us getting together and figuring out where the industry kind of goes from here. For those of you who do not care at all about that, which is 99.99999999999 and so on and so forth percent of you guys watching right now, it means that, you know, this is the time of year where rather than needing to rely on email or rely on conference calls or phone calls or whatever, busy schedules, this is the time when you know, if Rob Pelinka wants to walk across the court and say hi to Joe Cronin, he can walk across the court or around the court and say hi to Joe Cronin. I was there one time in Vegas, I think it was a couple of years ago, when like walking down the halls, I see Joe and Rob sitting there talking. I happen to be walking in the same direction, and I walked as close to them as I possibly could without being obvious and overheard them talking about, I think it was like a Robert Williams deal or whatever. And so it was like, you know, this time of year when you're sitting there at Thomas and Mack, there's like a little bar that is right outside midcourt in the Thomas and Mack Arena. And I usually post up at that bar. I'll sometimes go in, check out a game in either the main gym or the smaller gym. But usually I'm posted up there because I could watch both TVs or the TVs that have the games on. It allows me to sit there and mingle and talk with people and all that good stuff. And the only annoying thing about that little bar, though, is that they don't offer just tap water. Like, I have to buy bottles of Aquafina, and then I ask them, hey, can I put a lime in this Aquafina water with a little bit of ice? And they'll help me with that. But yeah, it's kind of annoying that they don't just sell water there or offer water there. But regardless, when you're sitting there, and when I'm sitting there, I'm always kind of keeping an eye out, like, oh, that's all right, that's so and so's agent, and that's talking to so and so's, you know, or I see quarter zips from teams that are talking to quarter zips of other teams, and you're like, huh, I wonder what they might be talking about. You do the thing where you have a conversation in hushed tones with some other reporters or whatever, but really you're positioning yourself as close to that other conversation as you possibly can. So maybe kind of sort of overhear something. And that's why this time of year, you'll hear a lot of like, what I'm hearing from Summer League is blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, like for the Lakers, you know, they are still, you know, in on Jonathan Kuminga. They are still in on PJ Washington. They are still in on other options there at the wing. The Lakers are very aware of the fact that they have a gaping hole at power forward in their starting lineup. And the hope is that by the time they, hop back onto their planes and leave Vegas in, you know, 10 days or whatever it is, that they'll be that much closer, if not outright having, you know, figured out that position. And the other reason that Vegas tends to help with action, as summers close, is that, the whole league is trying to go on vacation. It's funny that there's always a conversation about whether the league should extend the season further into the summer so that you can get rid of the back-to-backs. The league obviously isn't going to cut the number of games that it offers in a season, but you know, what they are probably going to consider, or what you would hope they might consider, is extending the season. And when I ask people about that, they're like, not going to happen. And I'd be like, why? And this was fairly early in my career. Like, why wouldn't it happen? And they're like, that's everybody's vacation time. There's a whole league full of millionaires. They can hop on planes and they can fly all over the world. Why would they want to limit the amount of time that they can do that? They want their full month's worth of vacation time that you would usually get in that, like, you know, right after Vegas Summer League. You probably have a couple, you know, weeks more of kind of business as usual, or like half days at the office. And then after that, you know, as you get into August, it is time to embark on your vacations. And then you come back in September for training camps. And then obviously training camp turns into preseason, which turns into the regular season, which turns into the postseason, which turns into the offseason. And then around the world we go. So with Vegas, it's the, you know, last real opportunity for everybody to be in the same place at the same time before everybody embarks on their vacations. And everybody would prefer to go on their vacations with as little left on their plates as they possibly can, right? There's nothing worse than being on vacation and having to answer the occasional work email. And that's what a lot of these teams are trying to do. So this weekend, look for a whole bunch of rumors and whispers and maybe actual transactions and a whole bunch of scuttlebutt, is all of us reporters who are a whole bunch of teenage girls. When we get together, we just sit there and talk about everything that we're hearing about the teams that we cover and the stuff that we heard from so-and-so about the team that they cover and how that lines up with the stuff that we're hearing about the team that we cover. And we're all, by the time we get to, especially tonight, right? Like, tonight is the really kind of the first night that everybody is there together and the drinks start flowing and, you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a little while. You know, I'm looking forward to catching up with some of my buddies out there. And once, you know, the first round of shots are ordered and everybody is kind of sauced up a little bit, the rumors really start flying. And then whatever it is that you can remember the next morning, you try to write it out through the haze of the last night's activity, and you'll get, you know, a whole bunch of dispatches, I would imagine, tomorrow, that maybe further outline situations that everybody's teams reside in. So, and then on top of that, right, you have meetings between reporters and agents and, you know, people bumping into each other, like at various parties that are thrown this weekend. Honestly, you could really argue it's like the busiest weekend in the NBA. Maybe not outright activity, right? Because you have, you know, like the last week was so much busier in terms of things that are actually going to be done. But as far as like, you know, the amounts of conversations that are had and the amounts of information that flow through Vegas, whether it's through Thomas and Mack, whether it's through UNLV, whether it's through sports books, whether it's through, you know, dining room tables and bars and everything in between. This is the time when everybody gets together, does as much talking as they possibly can. Everybody likes to pretend we know more than we know. And we get together and we offer up what information that we have. And by the end of the weekend, we're all exhausted and fully, you know, squeezed out from an information and water standpoint. We hop back on our planes and we go home and recover for like a week. But that's what happens this weekend. And for those of you who are hoping that the Lakers make a move on, whether it's Jonathan Kuminga, whether it's PJ Washington, maybe Rui Hachimura hits the market again because of this situation with aspiration and the deal that is being upheld with Kawhi Leonard. We'll see how things play out with LeBron, right? Clutch usually throws a party and a lot of information usually comes out of that. So yeah, it's a big, you know, to do this weekend. And I think by the time we get to tomorrow, we'll know a lot more about, you know, how things are going with the Lakers' efforts to land this power forward, whoever that power forward might be. And hopefully by the time I board my flight Monday afternoon, this whole thing will be figured out and we can all go on our vacations. The other thing I want to talk about really quickly before we get out of here is Jake Fisher is reporting that Victor Wembanyama is considering signing less than his maximum extension that he could sign with the Spurs. And we'll see. Remember, like LeBron said he would take less and then it came out to only about 300,000 maybe or whatever it was. But yeah, I was, you know, seeing this one, this report here from Jake, who obviously writes alongside Mark Stein for the Stein Line. And I just want to really quickly say, I'm not really comfortable talking about what players make and all of this stuff and who should take a pay cut and, you know, who's a max player and who isn't a max player. And, you know, like we just went through this whole thing with Austin Reeves and, you know, it just pay cuts and the amounts that these guys make is just not something that I love covering and talking about, especially heading into a weekend like this where you're actually going to see those people and they're going to ask you, hey, why are you talking about my money like that? And he's like, oh, shit. But when you get a report like this about Victor Wembanyama, who is well on his way to becoming the best player in the NBA, and he is considering taking less, that implies inherent, indirect, but inherent pressure on the entire rest of the league, frankly, to consider taking less. And all front offices are now going to look at their superstar and be like, you know, and I'm not saying that those superstars who don't take less are losers. I'm not saying that this is going to, you know, seismically change the way that business is done in the NBA, but this was one of the market inefficiencies the Spurs had with Tim Duncan. This was one of the market inefficiencies that, like, the Dallas Mavericks had with Dirk Nowitzki. When you have a superstar who is willing to take less, one, it has a ripple effect across the rest of the organization. But it also means that that team has that much, like, it's a superstar's max contract is already in and of itself and inherently a market inefficiency. It is a capped number that that player is playing on when, if he was to hit an actually open market with no restrictions on what that player could earn, Wemby could be worth double the max, to be completely honest. For the entirety of LeBron's career, he was way underpaid compared to the value that he brought on the court, let alone the value that he brought off of the court. That's what makes them, you know, that max player. If you have the best player in the NBA, that player is valuable not just because in a sport dominated by, you know, singular superstars, not only does, you know, just that player being the best in the world make that player incredibly valuable in that own right, but when you have that player and he is making as much or even in some cases less than other players in the NBA, well, those other players that are making more money and are worse at basketball than X best player just becomes, they just make it that much more difficult to win with. Just, I'm not saying that it's impossible. Smart organizations have won without the best player in the NBA. But I do kind of wonder if, you know, with these rumors kind of floating around about what Victor Wembanyama might be willing to take here, if somebody from the players union gets in his ear and says, you have a responsibility to the union to take every penny that you can get, because every dollar that you leave on the table can be used as pressure to force the rest of this union to take less than we are actually worth. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. This leaking before a decision is actually made is going to be interesting. Victor Wembanyama had a tweet about, like, Spurs Nation, I'm not going anywhere, I'm here to stay, whatever it is, which would indicate there's probably an agreement in place. But if that agreement is for less and the players union hears about it, this is part of why LeBron has refused to take less. Part of it, you know, is that, like, if you're worth a certain amount of money, you should take what you are worth. The other part of it is if LeBron takes pay cuts when he was at the top of the league, it would give that team an extraordinary advantage over the rest of their competition. And what the NBPA doesn't want is for this to become, you know, a tried and true method from teams to, you know, say, hey, look what Wemby did. You know, you want me to build this, you know, contending roster. You want me to build a champion. Sure would help if I had an extra $10, $15 million to work with. You know, just saying, you know, and I'm not, like, teams won't have conversations with their superstars that way, because if you introduce that to like in a conversation with a player who is not open to that conversation, all of a sudden that player goes like, fuck you, you're talking to, you know, you take a pay cut, have that guy take a pay cut. And they would be right to say that. So yeah, all of this is to say that I'm really hoping that Wemby doesn't take this pay cut. It sounds cool. It's cool that he's committed to winning. It's cool that, like, in this era of greed and billionaires and now a trillionaire in existence, that somebody is, you know, a millionaire, a 100 millionaire is willing to step up and be like, you know, a few hundred million is fine for me. A couple hundred million is fine for me. Let's spread the wealth literally across the rest of the roster. And, you know, that like is a cool story, but the more that you kind of talk about it, the more that you suss it out. And given that all it would do is placate owners who are billionaires, you know, that would love nothing more than to save a couple bucks while they build their champions. Like take your money, Wemby. Like let's just keep this as simple as possible. You're going to be the best player in the league. You should be paid like the best player in the league, which involves taking a full max. Also, selfishly, from the Lakers standpoint, because Luka is already signed to his extension, because Austin just penned or is getting ready to officially pen his extension, and neither of those players took any kind of pay cut. Selfishly, I'm sitting here being like, do you have to, Wemby? Really?
Bye, everyone.